3.
Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z. So glad to host the show. My special guest this week is Petey Hopp. I was just thinking of all the things that you do. Mm-hmm. Band leader, sideman, mm-hmm. jam leader, mm-hmm. vocalist, composer. Mm-hmm. You didn't bring your harps today.
I actually did. I may do one song with a harp. Yeah, I did. Yeah. Although, yeah, I didn't know how it was going to sound over the mic in the studio. So, but yeah, I possibly will do that.
But a man who's been doing it for a few years.
I counted it up recently, and I have to count my gigs every year, and I think it's over 3,500 gigs. I mean, it's been pretty much 250 nights a year for the past at least 10 years.
250 nights a year, that's great.
Basically 5-6 nights a week. I've hit as many as 260, 260 something. This year it's on par to be down around 200 because, you know, I lost a couple with the economy, but I haven't really been pressing that much because I've been using the time to do other things, you know, like write and record and do some different stuff. You know, so yeah. And it's funny, like you were saying, all the different things. I actually put on my business card, you know, band leader and ringmaster. You know, because, you know, that's what it is sometimes, you know. You know, you've hired a musician for gigs, and you show up on a gig, and people have never played together before, and you never know what might happen, and it's like sometimes it's just like a three-ring circus, you know. It really is. It's funny.
Yeah, I learned the hard way. Basically, when I'm on the stage, I say virtually nothing to my sidemen.
Right.
Because I've had some side people, and you say anything to them, mm-hmm. and they freak.
Right, right. Turns into key of C. I know!
Right.
And freak out.
Right, and then they'll tell
making
you,
sure.
Never talk to me.
Right, right, right. Can I tell you the name of the song?
Yeah.
Right, right.
I'll hear it.
Right, I love that. That's like my favorite. I'm not one of those guys. If I'm on a gig and you can throw me the chord progression, tell me before the song starts, hey, I have pretty good ears and I'll pick up. But you know what? If I know what's happening ahead of time, I'd much rather have that. You know, so definitely.
So we were talking, the jam thing mm-hmm. is hot right now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there's young people, there's mm-hmm. older people reliving their youth, mm-hmm. and the clubs are filling their off nights with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you do Monday night acoustic mm-hmm. jam at Lucy's, mm-hmm. you do Wednesday night, a strict blues mm-hmm. jam at the Hyde Park Brewery in Hyde Park.
Yep, and this Thursday is the second Thursday of the month, I do the 12 Grapes, yeah. So basically those three jams, yeah. You know. And it's, you know, and for a musician, it pays the bills. I mean, you get to play a little bit. I mean, again, that's sometimes like a real ringmaster thing. You never know who's going to walk through the door. And you can get some real characters. I've actually had to, I reserve the right to refuse you the right to play at times, you know. And I've had to actually, you know, it doesn't happen very often, but there's been a few people I've been like, you know, not so nice terms, get out, you know. And but generally, you know, like my whole motto, especially for my Monday thing and any jam I host, really is, it's a no egos jam, you know, no egos necessary. Leave it at home. I mean, I try and be a really friendly guy. I try and, you know, build a great atmosphere. I mean, I think that, you know, the nicer you are to people, the better the music is, the better the whole scene is. You know, there's creative tension in other ways. It's not because people are being, you know, foolish and just egocentric. It's because, you know, you hear something somebody does, it's great, encourages you, you know. And that's, you know, that's kind of why I like to set it up like that, because I just think you get better results in the end, you know.
Well, in the end, I was on MySpace, mm-hmm. and someone posted a bulletin, mm-hmm. and this female songwriter in Hoboken hosts mm-hmm. a singer-songwriter workshop. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was so funny. It said, looking for accomplished singer-songwriters with a following.
Right, right, exactly.
It's like, you know, it's like you're a bartender, you're a hairdresser.
Right.
We only want you if you got a following.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. And then why do you want me to come there? I mean, I get my own clubs.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, that the Jefferson Airplane, yeah. That's how they did it.
Right.
They've got a big country guy now who had the Zac Brown Band, I think. Mm. He's got a hit Chicken Fried. He owned the restaurant. He was the chef.
Right.
And
right.
he had his own band
I did
play
hear about that. Right. Right.
But
you monopolize the market, you know. It's hey, yeah, you know, that's what people do. You know, it's one way to get it out there. And these days, there's so many different ways. I mean, you know, even like we were talking, you know, teaching guitar. I mean, you know, I teach guitar. I got 4 days a week. I teach 2 days a week at a great local music store in Mayapack called Putnam Music. Now, the owner is a great guy. He used to be, he still is a musician. He still plays. You should have him as well.
He's two been guitars. On my show, two guitars.
Yeah, you know Gus and you know Brian. Brian teaches there as well. And, you know, he used to play with Chubby Checker. So it's like he understands what it's like from our side. He's not just a business owner. He's a musician as well. So he's real fair and he treats us well. But, you know, you get people to come out for the gigs. I mean, my jam on Thursday, a bunch of my students are going to come out and play. And it's a great way to get them to that next step of playing out, you know, in an easy atmosphere where they don't have to carry a night. Number one, I'm up there with them so they can feel confident that, you know, I know the songs we were working on. You know, I was in the lesson room with them. And then when they get up there and play, it's how, you know, I mean, that's, you know, people took me under their wing. So, I mean, I really try and make sure that, you know, the next generation of kids, especially when I want them to be into blues and things like that, if they're not introduced to it, they're not, you know, then, you know, what's that old saying? You know, we love what we understand. We understand what we're taught to understand, blah, blah, blah. And if you don't teach people to understand and love the music, they don't get it, you know, not exposed to it.
Well, so. I just think it's funny because I'll never forget the day I'm talking to my daughter in the car. You know, when I was in the public school system, mm-hmm. we had temple dances, church dances, mm-hmm. and they were played by our peers.
Yeah, bands. And
right. They had bands in high school.
It's,
I mean, they were
DJs now.
Well, that's the whole thing, and I said, yeah. I said to her, you know, do you go to dances? Yeah. Not really, but yeah. Well, I said, when you go to them, you know, do bands play? She goes, oh, no, we don't want bands to play.
Right. Exactly.
I go, why not? She goes, well, bands only play the songs they want to do.
Right, right.
And then they don't even do a good job.
Right, right. Well, you know what it is, they do a different rendition. You know, I was actually at a family function recently, and someone in my extended family, who was really into music, was like, oh, I hate live versions. And but he supposedly considers himself a big music fan, and that to me was like, you know, that's really what it's all about. I mean, it's great to have a great recorded version. You know, I remember reading a thing years ago about what Jorma Kalkinen, he was saying back in the 60s, you know, it was like, oh yeah, you know, you're a great live band, but can you make a record? And now it's like, you can make a record, but can you play live? You know, because so many people can go in, do a Pro Tools thing, fix everything, but can you actually do it? You know? To me, I mean, that's what separates, you know, the old saying, men from the boys kind of thing. I mean, you have to be able to stand up there and do it. You know, if a song can't stand up with a guitar and a voice, then, you know, the foundation is not there. It's great when you can embellish things, and I love that as well. Don't get me wrong, but, you know, the heart and soul of a song should be able to be played very simply. Piano, guitar, whatever, you know.
And I learned that lesson one day. I was listening to this radio show, I forgot, the mm-hmm. King Biscuit Flower
mm-hmm.
Hour.
Oh, yeah. And
Greg Allman, probably for the 10th billionth time in his life,
right.
sang Midnight Rider
right.
just on acoustic guitar.
Right.
And
still makes it.
Shivers went
yeah.
down my
still
spine because that guy's got it.
Right, exactly. And that's one I do in my cover set list, which you may too. And it transfers well if you do it solo. I do it solo, you know. You don't necessarily need the high harmony. Everybody hears it. So it's nice to have it, but yeah, great song.
Speaking of Jorma,
mm-hmm.
I was walking down Post Road in Larchmont.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I forgot the name of the club.
The Watercolor Cafe.
The Watercolor yeah. Cafe.
Is it right in there?
And I looked inside, and it was packed. Mm-hmm. And I looked on the window, it was Jorma Kalkonen. Yeah. $30 got you dinner
yeah.
and Jorma.
That's a great deal. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's great. He has that whole Fur Peace Ranch thing. It's supposed to, one of my students actually went there, and he said he loves it. He said it's great. And he's actually doing one in New York, I think, coming up somewhere in, like, Catskills or something like that. Or may have already done it, but I think it's coming up.
Well, let's get you started early with the playing.
Okay.
This
good.
Set.
Sounds good to me. Make sure my mic doesn't come on.
I got your cord. Good to go.
Something for my throat. This one's called I See. Basically just a love song. Love gone wrong song. Not long ago, I'm far away. A day not different than today. Heard that love was blind. You.
here tomorrow. I won't stay another day. You want me gone. You won't see me. It's no time for tears of sorrow. I won't stay another day. Yes, I'll move on.
F minor to G chord. That's a hook.
I like that as well. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Should I do another one? You want?
I'm freezing. What about you?
I got my jacket on.
That was a subtle hint, in case anyone's listening. Yeah, let's do another one.
Okay. This one I wrote for kind of about my father-in-law and my wife's relationship. My father-in-law was a brilliant man. He was one of the did a lot of early dialysis research and was really, he's published, I think, 65 times in Journal of American Medicine and, was, I believe, a Nobel Prize laureate and, really brilliant man. And he died in 2002, I think it was, no, 2004. And I kind of wrote this song, basically, a conversation between him and her. It's called Moving On.
With time, reminders of all crimes, the past is gone.
nice chords on that.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm kind of proud of that one. I like it.
I remember when I was learning to play lead guitar, I had this 10 years after album, and they had a song that was like the one, the two, and the four, kind of like the end of that song. Great to play lead guitar on.
I love 10 years after, yeah, that's kind of like that song. I kind of get into doing, you know, big chords with open voicings.
Yes,
letting a nice jangle. Anytime you can get that for a lot of this stuff, you know, I really like that sound.
In other words, you mix open strings
with the chords. You have to fret it up higher. It's almost like you have a capo, and then you have the open strings with it. Away, you know.
That's beautiful.
Thanks.
You want to do another one?
Sure, I'll do one more. Yeah.
Okay. Let's do one more, and then we get to our questions.
Okay. Time again.
Interesting chords in that.
Thank you. That's another one I kind of wrote for my brother, but he was still alive. He had a bit of a, you know, drinking problem and such, and, you know, we kind of all the family had to go through a lot with him, but, you know, we loved him, we stuck with him, we stuck by him, and, you know, I think it gave him a lot more years than he could have had, you know. He died at 37, but, you know, could have died of other things much younger. So, you know.
How did he pass?
At a heart attack. Yeah, yeah.
You've had a lot of death in your life.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
You should be a hit songwriter.
Right.
You certainly had.
Do something with it.
Right, right, the raw material, but, you know, to process it.
I'm telling you, and that's you know, it's a great outlet. You know, whether anybody ever hears these songs or not, some of them were written, you know, almost as a catharsis, just to put it out there and make myself feel better, you know. Luckily, some of them happen to sound good, and I think somebody would like to maybe record them or listen to them, you know. So, you know, but it really is. And like in some of my adult students, I tell them, I say, you know, hey, listen, you know, you're probably not ever going to play the garden, but, you know, you could really get a great stress relief from music, you know. You know, if that's all you get at it, you know, it's a great stress relief. You can, it's like the, what was the Todd Rundgren song? I don't want to work, want to bang on a drum. I mean, you know, bang on a guitar, you know.
It's one of the songs I do in my group.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, people love that song.
Yeah, yeah. Resonates, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you teach your students, mm-hmm. Do you teach them to read? Do you have a special book that you use, or do you teach them how to learn by ear? Or what's your method?
All of it, and it depends on the student. I mean, you really, especially with the young kids. I mean, most adult students don't want to learn how to read music. They just want to learn how to play their favorite songs. So generally, I'll teach them tablature because there's a wealth of that on the internet they can find.
Most of it wrong.
Right, a lot of it is wrong, exactly. As I tell them, you know, bring it to me and we'll figure it out. And but I do. I mean, I'll teach them how to do by ear. But the younger students, I try and teach, you know, a little bit of a little reading, a little tab, a little by ear and everything. But, you know, you have to kind of do whatever works with this particular student. You can't just say, oh, you're going to learn how to read, and, you know, you lose them that way. You know, and my end result with a student is to get them to love music and want to play it, however that is. You know, I mean, you know, there are certainly lots of famous musicians you can't read a note of music. You know, they don't even necessarily sometimes even know what the chords are they're playing, but they can put two and two together and make great music. So there are some people very snobbish. Oh, you don't know how to read, you know, and you know, it always helps. That's what I tell my students. Yes, it always helps to know how to read music, because it will double the amount of work that you can get, and it's just another way to learn. You know, if you can look at a piece of music, it's an international language. I don't speak Chinese, but if I put, you know, a piece of music in front of a person who reads music who's Chinese, we can communicate. You know, so it's an avenue, you know, to get work and to understand music and connect with people, you know, so.
Now, what about hand position,
mm-hmm. you know? Technique and that kind of thing.
When I was growing up, mm-hmm. I first learned jazz guitar, mm-hmm. and I was taught a very strict mm-hmm. way of playing. Mm-hmm. I have very small fingers, mm-hmm. especially my pinky is basically useless because mm-hmm. it's so small, mm-hmm. but I was forced to learn a way which did a lot of damage to my hand. Mm-hmm. Now,
I think that's important.
Now I play however it feels comfortable, right. and it's opened up a lot of stuff for me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because I play things a little different. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, some people mm-hmm. are afraid to take lessons because yeah. they're afraid it will kill their creativity. Mm-hmm. So how do you deal with that?
Well, there are some people that I do find that have great natural instincts, and it is a point of staying out of their way and not, you know, making them think too much about what they're doing. I have some students like that, and you know, it's a lot harder to approach someone like that because, you know, it's easy just to say, okay, here's some finger exercises, you know.
You know,
these
You're
are
good.
You know, these techniques. I mean, you know, and you know, there's a place for that because, you know, what you do is that if you do develop good technique, then you know, you lessen the risk of injury. I mean, you know, as it is now, my job as a musician, Mondays I teach for 7 hours, I play guitar for 7 hours, go to a gig sometimes, and this happens 3-4 days a week. I could play guitar 7-8 hours a day. If I didn't have good technique and proper, you know, things like that, I could do real damage. I mean, I know guys who have carpal tunnel and things like that.
Sure.
And I think the reason I don't is because I had, you know, good training, and I saw the value of it young, which a lot of people don't. And it is kind of getting kids to see, or even adults to see. Trust me, it's a little harder to do it this way at first as opposed to, you know, but hey, listen, Django Reinhardt.
He had two fingers, that's it.
The guy had two fingers. I mean, you know, probably the greatest jazz guitar player of all time, you know. So, I mean, that being said, I mean, you know, whatever works for you in the end, you know, if you can do it without hurting yourself and risking damage, yeah, you know, whatever. More than one way to skin a cat.
One final word to our audience. Mm-hmm. What would you like to say?
I'd like to say thank you for having me, and I hope you like my music. Check it out. I have my website, pdhop.com. You can check out, I have some songs up on iTunes. That's it. You know, come see a show. That's about it.
As we say, support live music before it becomes classical music. It has to be supported by the government.
Exactly, bro.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
We're out.
Good. Good time. Thanks for letting me do some more songs.